Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's switch gears now. I want to talk about another case that we are both very passionate about and have been following out of Lono County, Arkansas. Aaron Spencer, the father accused of shooting the man he found with his 14-year-old daughter, he's now running for sheriff. And I think this is a lovely story. I mean, it's a horrible story, but it's a lovely way he is taking the ball and running with it and not being a victim to the system that's trying to run him off the road. Just like he ran off the road, the man who came into his house in the middle of the night, kidnapped his 14-year-old daughter, who he'd already essayed. And then finally, Aaron, he after he discovers his daughter's missing, catches up to him, drives him off the road, and kills him because he approaches him and he's attacking. So I think this is wonderful that Aaron Spencer is running for sheriff. Aaron Spencer also being charged with second-degree murder for the murder of that very predator. This is such a screwed-up story, and there's so many issues with it. And I'll say this. And this is what I was thinking earlier, because I just did another piece on this. What really gets me is the fact that Michael Fossler, the predator who has been killed in the shooting, the fact that he was released, the fact that the DA is going after dad who was protecting his daughter, which is only going to further traumatize that family, and the daughter who survived all of this stuff. Does anyone know anyone who protects predators other than predators?
No.
Nope.
I don't.
Next I question. Don't.
Yeah. I think that answers a lot. I mean, I'm not saying anything, but I am kind of, I'm saying
you are.
There needs to be a look at this, because I don't know anyone who is as passionately protecting a predator as the folks in Lono County are, who are doing this, who are going after Aaron Spencer as for second degree murder, and who let the guy out in the first place.
Well, and I think that's what they're protecting, aren't they? They're protecting the fact that they let this guy go for such a low amount of bail money and, oh, go do your thing. And he went and did his thing, and dad stepped in and became a hero.
They're doubling down then by charging Spencer. And that's, to me, where I'm like, I don't know anybody who protects child predators other than other child predators.
Yeah. No,
I don't. I mean, prove me wrong, DA.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong. I'm not saying that DA is a child predator, but I am saying I don't know anyone who does protect them other than that. So it just seems a little weird.
It does, because that concept does not exist in the world.
No,
no normal person, no person that has children or cares about children or cares about people is going to protect somebody who's a known predator.
Yeah.
Like, it's inexplicable. Like, unless you yourself are a predator and you're terrified of exposure.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, where my mind keeps going here.
Right. Well, and look, Tony and Stacey and I are not pointing fingers at anybody.
No.
Nope.
We're not.
However, it requires some kind of investigation, I would think.
Some critical thinking skills.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, as you said, Tony, we're both really passionate about this case. And when I found out that Aaron was running for sheriff, and his wife had sent me the post, they had posted on Facebook first, and I didn't see it. and their group over there, which is 60,000 strong, which should tell you something.
Yes.
She's like, hey, I didn't know if you saw this, but I wanted you to see this. And I could not love it more than I do.
Mm-hmm. It's sticking it to the man, isn't it?
It's sticking it to the man. And, you know, from the citizen's perspective, I love it. Mm-hmm. From the defense attorney's perspective, I love it, but it terrifies me, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, the first thing is it adds another layer. It adds mm-hmm. another element to her job and their job as his defense attorneys in terms of navigating this. Now, this thing is set to go to trial early next year. I believe mm-hmm. it's early January. That election for sheriff is next November. So not this upcoming November, but next year. So John Staley, who's the current sheriff, is now putting up quite a bit of resistance. So you've got this issue wherein he's made a public announcement that he's running for office. You've got a longtime sheriff there who has been running around town saying, you don't know the whole story. You don't know the whole story. You're just listening to their narrative. So he's going to be trying to protect his office. He's going, you know, there's a lot at play here. And it's a really, really interesting angle. I am going to be taking a field trip to your neck of the woods, man, to visit down to Lone Oak, do some man on the street shit. Maybe I can talk you into meeting me over there. And yeah. we can talk to the people and see what the people have to say, because I get tired of hearing from politicians. I like to hear from the real ones, from the actual citizens of all these different places and all these stories that we hear about. And there's a lot going on with it. But I just think it's a fucking badass power move. It is flipping the script in a way that I just respect the hell out of.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to understand this better about how the dynamics of this are working. So he's running for sheriff. The sheriff, the current one that is there, what sort of involvement did they have in this case to begin with? What are the legalities of running for sheriff when you might actually be indicted or imprisoned by the time you get elected? I mean, there's a lot of gray areas here. Let's start with the first part, though. What sort of involvement did this sheriff have in this, if any, to begin with the Michael Fossler and all of that when he was alive?
So his department, Staley's department, wasn't like the investigative agency. So like it really is in his case.
Okay, so, I didn't think like, so. Yeah,
he's sitting out there chirping about, you know, shit that he claims that he knows, trying to counter the narrative that is out there in terms of what actually happened. And again, you have to ask yourself, what kind of fucking asshole is going to sit out there when it is known that Fossler was grooming and essaying this then 13-year-old girl and then is given a $5,000 bond by the very same judge who is sitting on Aaron Spencer's case?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Aaron Spencer didn't run out and kill Michael Fossler as soon as he bonded out. This is 3 months later.
Yeah, this is not a vigilante situation.
This is not a vigilante situation. 3 months later, this guy gets his filthy claws back in this kid. And again, I tell this to people all the time. If you don't if somebody asked me the question, well, how did she get in his car? I don't give a fuck.
Yep.
Exactly. I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
She was groomed. If you don't understand what grooming is, do a little research. Because when you have somebody in a position of authority and power and they get their hands into a child.
Correct.
With a child's mentality, and they develop this bond of trust, friendship, and then take it to the next level, that child is powerless
mm-hmm.
to fight against it. And the fact that he was able to do it again, and we're talking, that's the guy, 67-year-old Uber creep who had his claws in this little girl.
Who had also been part of law enforcement.
In Indiana, he was law enforcement. This guy's ex-military. This guy is a guy who always positioned himself in a position of power. He always had a badge. He was always a ranking officer when he was in the National Guard. They transferred him to – I'm doing a lot of research on Michael Fossler.
Yeah.
I'm talking to a lot of people about Michael Fossler. I want to know what Michael Fossler was up to in Indiana. Because I'm going to get the narrative out of exactly who the fuck we're dealing with. And
this wasn't his only thing.
No. You don't start abusing children at 67.
No, it starts way earlier.
Way, way earlier.
Yeah. There's a wake, I'm sure, of victims in his past.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Stacey.
You'd be hard-pressed, I would think, to find a jury of your peers that's going to listen to this case from start to finish and go, oh, yeah, he's guilty of murder. He killed the guy. We need to put him away. No. He was a father. He was Papa Bear. He protected his daughter. Case closed. Don't you think, Bob? Am 100%. I oversimplifying this?
No, because it is that simple. You know, but here's the thing. Like, there's this thing that exists in the law, which they call jury nullification, okay? And that's where, okay, you've got a jury. They hear a compelling story. Technically, there has been a violation of the law. Technically, correct, that person is guilty of committing the crime. However, the jury is so compelled by the story and what actually happened that they decide not to apply the law. They don't follow the law. They call and they find the person not guilty. They acquit the person. They call that jury nullification. This isn't even that. This is, if you look at the statute in Arkansas for defense of others, he had a reasonable belief. And it was absolutely reasonable. If you don't think that this guy who had a stay away order, who had then, after 3 months of being out, then continues to communicate with her immediately. And over the next 3 months, unbeknownst to the family, he's now texting her, sending her money, you know, and like getting his claws back into her. This guy doesn't give a fuck.
No.
He does not care. If you don't think as a father that the first thing that you're going to be thinking is one of two things, either he's kidnapping my child to get her, because she is the only witness against him in the 43 counts that he has pending. Don't forget that. It's an important part of what's going on in Aaron Spencer's mind in the moment. And the other part that you'd be thinking is he's going to kill her because she's the only witness who can testify as to the assaults.
They're not going out for ice cream.
They are not going. And this is at 12:30 at night. This is at 12:30 at night. Okay.
Again, I don't know anyone that protects child predators other than child predators.
That's a great point.
Yes. So this is a situation wherein this isn't going to be jury nullification. They are going to find him not guilty.
Correct.
Because this was a justified homicide. Justified as long as the day is long.
Wouldn't this also even mean kind of go into take Hero Dad out of it, take Aaron Spencer out of it for a second, and go in the scenario that you're driving around. Let's say you're a friend of the family. You know that this guy had already violated this young girl, and you're driving. And you're like, holy shit, he's in the vehicle with that girl.
Yeah.
And you're just the good Samaritan. It's whoever is just driving around. You see this shit and you're like, oh, holy fuck. I mean, if I was out there, I think most dads, if you, one of your friend's kids were in that situation, I'd be ramming him off the road too.
100%.
And I would also pull the trigger if I was armed and 100%. I saw this fucker. That's being a good Samaritan. Is that not? You are protecting the life of a child.
Yes.
Because the guy, it's not like Aaron Spencer didn't walk up to the truck and just pop the guy in the head. That's not what happened.
No.
Fossler approached him. You would think, well, let's see here. He's got my daughter in the truck. It's 12:30 at night. It's made to look at home like she just went out or that she was still in bed. This is all kind of a ruse to make it look like something else is going on. I find out she's missing and I get out there and there's this monster with my daughter. He approaches you. You're going to think he may be armed. He may not want me around.
Yeah.
If he's already done this, my life may be in danger. Certainly my daughter's is. Mine might be too. So, of course, if you're armed, you're going to use it.
Yes.
I do not understand what the hell is going on with these police, or with the DA, with the judge, with anything in Lone Oak County that makes any of this make any gram of sense?
I wish I could give you an answer, but I can't. And I can tell you this, I'm going to certainly be trying to talk to the DA down there that's moving forward on these charges. Because I think that the people of the county of Lone Oak want a fucking answer.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
You know, and not some bullshit. Oh, well, we have to let a jury. We have to
bullshit.
Let a jury.
This is not.
This ain't that. You know, this is not that situation. They have the ability to, as a district attorney, to look at it and make a decision as to whether or not they look at the facts as they exist and they say, okay, I'm either going to pull the trigger on this or I'm not.
And they can still back up.
They're elected too, T.
Yeah.
You know,
they are. And then the DA can still drop charges. The DA can have an epiphany and go, maybe this is one I don't want to keep going with.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe it's one you don't want to keep going with, again, because I don't know anyone who protects predators other than predators, and I don't think anyone else does either. So maybe it might be a good idea to back away from this one. Maybe just say, fucked up. Shouldn't.
I mean, they've had a fucking year.
And they still haven't. Well, then I guess we're going to have to let the world know who they are.
That's right. That's right. I mean, look, I mean, this thing is getting one of the beautiful things about him running is that got blasted all over. That shit went viral.
Yeah.
So the world knows about this case. It's not just a few eyes on it. They got the eyes on the world on this case. And there's going to have to be answers that are going to have to be given by people that are going to have to be asked hard questions. Yeah. Because look, this thing, and the one thing that I want everybody to remember in terms of that statute, it's what would a reasonable person think in the moment in time? And again, this guy did not give a fuck. He had 43 pending charges for SA and other things all related to Aaron's daughter. He had a stay away order in place to stay away from not only that child, but the entire family and the property. Yeah. He did not care.
Yeah.
You have to try to have that, pretend that's running through your mind, that is what's going on in your head. Like, this fucking guy doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like that's where your brain's at. Because like a normal person, if they're out on bond, is not going to, even if they can't help themselves from committing another crime, say they're in for drug, you know, selling drugs. Well, I have to fucking make money. I'm out on bond. I'm going to hit the corner. I got to sell some rock because I have to eat. That's a different thing. This is a guy who not only goes out and does it again, but does it with the same victim. This guy did not care at all. That is what's going through Aaron Spencer's mind when he rolls up on that truck and he's screaming for his daughter to get out of the cab of the truck. She's not coming. And he's yelling at Foster, let my fucking daughter go. Let my daughter out of the truck, screaming at the top of his lungs. Yeah. And instead Foster gets out.
Yeah.
The shit from right there. What in my estimation, it's over. You know, like you.
I'm ready to pull the trigger the second he walks out. Right, I mean, like what's going to happen there? Like, oh, hey, I just wanted to take her out to the DQ, get a blizzard or something, and just make up for everything and say it was all a big misunderstanding. Bull fucking shit. I mean, it's like this is just. And here's another element to the case because it keeps getting darker and darker. And it's important that anyone who is hearing this and getting enraged get fully enraged and understand what the hell's going on here. Let's talk about the gag order on this case that was there for how long that immediately was like, nobody can talk about any of this shit. Give us some insight on that, Bob.
Yeah. So the gag order, and again, the important part of this puzzle of this gag order is that, again, you're dealing with the same judge who granted a $5,000 bond cash had to be posted for him to be able to walk out on 43 counts, including multiple counts of SA against a minor.
Yeah.
Okay. In our state, you're doing life on that shit. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
in Florida, they can kill you now.
Right.
So what happens is after he gets out, this thing goes down, and lo and behold, the judge presiding over Aaron Spencer's case is the exact same fucking judge. Exact same woman. Okay. So one of the first things she does is there. And I highly recommend everybody go and watch the argument in that case because it was broadcast in the Arkansas Supreme Court. So Aaron's attorneys went and said, okay, this gag is fucking ridiculous. They've gagged the world. For some reason, they're trying, this judge is trying to allow the world not to speak about the case at all. Mm-hmm. No one can speak about it. No one can, it was the most far reaching gag you can ever see. Right.
Matter of fact, protecting something. Are we?
Here we are. Like it.
So ultimately they file, it gets up to the Supreme Court of Arkansas. The Supreme Court, like, this gag is absurd. I've never seen anything like this. We're flamethrowing the gag. The gag is done. One of the concurring justices who didn't write the opinion, because the majority wrote the opinion, and then one, you know, other justices can say, hey, I want to write something too, because I got thoughts and feelings about this. This judge says, you know, when they looked at how this thing went down from when the state filed the motion requesting the gag, okay, they said that she turned around quicker. Like, he used this language. He said she granted the state's motion without the defense being able to file a responsive pleading. She granted that motion faster than it takes to brew a cup of, or what do they call those things? Pot of coffee.
Okay. Bob. I'm so curious. Bob, you might need some coffee, dude.
I know. I mean,
we're striving for the word pot of coffee today, Bob.
I'm worried about you.
I'm a Keurig guy. So it's always cups now.
It's a pot.
Yeah, I haven't used a pot in forever.
True.
So but that's incredibly telling, because it's basically they're saying, look, you turned around immediately and granted this thing without even doing any research, and then on top of it you use a gag order from a case that we had previously overturned. So you used a cut and paste for your gag order for a gag that has been declared bad law. So that justice not only said shame on you, but what I suggest is we use our power to remove that judge from that case. Unfortunately, that judge was a concurring judge, so it didn't have the strength that the actual opinion has, wherein when you get the opinion in the appellate courts or the Supreme Court said, okay, this is what's happening, it's got to be in the majority opinion. So concurring opinions, you can't employ the things that they're asking them to do. They're just allowed to say, this is what should have been done. This is what I think that my brethren should have done in the majority opinion. So you had at least one judge saying, this fucking judge should never have been sitting on Aaron Spencer's case. She's got to go, which I still think she needs to go. You know, how she's sitting on this case, how there's no conflict there is beyond
that. That should be the big thing that they're going after.
Well, I mean, there's going to be a gazillion appellate issues. I mean, right. I mean, but we shouldn't even have to go through this. This family's been traumatized by a predator, and the judge and the DA are like, let's traumatize them again. Why?
And the child.
Why? The child. Again, I don't know anyone who protects child predators other than child predators. And I'm not saying any of them are. But I'm saying I don't know anyone.
Begs the question.
And we'll end on that. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us there. Bob's podcast, Defense Diaries, check it out. And also, of course, Buried, search for that. That is available right now as well, wherever you get podcasts. This is, let me pull the graphic up for that again one more time. Inside the John Wayne Gacy Investigation, Buried, check that out right now to get all of that. It's great stuff. Bob, as always, thanks for being here.
For Stacy,
I love you too. For Stacy, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
There we go.